Chapter 28. The Katana's turbolasers flashed, disintegrating the center of the Imperial's dropship formation. And one of Wedge's X-Wing pilots gave a war whoop.
Woo! Will you look at that?
Cut the chatter, Rogue Seven, Wedge admonished, trying to see through a cloud of flaming debris. The Imperials had gotten a bloody nose, but that was about all. They've got lots more TIE fighters in reserve.
Wedge?
Wedge switched channels.
I'm here, Luke.
We've decided not to leave the ship. We'd run right into the Imperials, and you know how well transports fight. You might as well get your group out of here and go whistle up some help.
The surviving dropships, Wedge saw, were reconfiguring into an evasion pattern with the TIE fighters moving ahead to clear a path for them.
You'll never be able to hold out, he told Luke flatly. There could be 300 troops aboard those dropships.
We'll have a better chance against them than you will against a Star Destroyer. Come on, get going.
Wedge clenched his teeth. Luke was right, and they both knew it. But to abandon his friends here...
Rogue Leader, this is Gold Leader.
A new voice abruptly came on the comm.
Requesting permission to join the party.
Frowning, Wedge threw a glance out the back of his canopy. They were there, all right. The Quenfis's two X-Wing squadrons coming up behind his group for all they were worth.
Permission granted, he said. I didn't think Counselor Phalia was going to let you come out and play.
Phalia doesn't have any say in it anymore. Tell you about it later. Captain's turned things over to Organa Solo.
First good news I've heard today, Wedge grunted. All right, here's the scheme. You detail four of your group to hit those dropships. The rest of us will concentrate on the TIE fighters. With luck, we can clear them out before the next wave gets here. I don't suppose we've got any backup of our own coming.
Captain says there's a Star Cruiser on the way. Don't know when it'll get here, though.
Probably not soon enough, Wedge told himself silently. Okay, he said aloud. Let's do it.
A new set of drive trails had appeared near the Star Destroyer's docking bay. The second wave of TIE fighters had launched. That was going to be trouble down the line. But for the moment, the X-Wings had this batch of Imperials outnumbered. And the Imperials knew it. They were spreading out, trying to draw their attackers apart where they couldn't cover each other. Wedge did a quick evaluation of the situation.
All X-Wings, we'll do a one-on-one, he said. Choose your target and go.
Closer now, he could see that two of the Imperial starfighters were the faster and more advanced TIE interceptors. Picking one of them for himself, he broke formation and headed after it. Whatever erosion the Empire had experienced in the way of ships and trained personnel over the past 5 years, it was quickly clear that their starfighter training program hadn't suffered a lot. Wedge's target TIE interceptor slipped adroitly away from his initial attack, doing a sideways skid that simultaneously braked him out of the X-Wing's way and swiveled his lasers around to track along its flight vector. Wedge threw the X-Wing into a drop loop, wincing as the other's shot came close enough to trigger the starboard engine's heat sensors, and turned sharply to starboard. He braced himself for a second shot, but it didn't come. Bringing the X-Wing out of its combination loop-slash-turn, he looked around for his opponent.
Watch your back, Rogue Leader!
The voice of Rogue 3 snapped in his ear, and Wedge again threw the X-Wing into a drop loop just as another laser blast sizzled past his canopy. Not only had the Imperial not been fooled by Wedge's corkscrew maneuver, he'd even managed to follow him through it.
He's still with you,
Rogue 3 confirmed.
Go evasive. I can be there in a minute.
Don't bother,
Wedge told him. Through the spinning sky outside his canopy, he'd caught a glimpse of another Imperial moving past him to portside. Hauling hard on his controls, he broke out of his loop and drove directly toward it. The TIE fighter jerked slightly as its pilot suddenly became aware of the threat bearing down on him and tried to veer out of the way, which was exactly what Wedge had counted on. Ducking beneath the TIE fighter, he threw the X-Wing into an upward rolling turn, swinging perilously close to the Imperial's canopy and bringing his nose around to point back the way he'd come. The TIE interceptor, which had instinctively swerved off Wedge's tail to keep from ramming one of his own ships, was caught flat-footed. A single point-blank blast from the X-Wing's lasers blew it out of the sky.
Nice flying, Rogue Leader,
Gold Leader commented.
My turn.
Wedge understood. Throwing power to his drive, he shot away from the TIE fighter he'd used for cover, getting clear just as Gold Leader's lasers caught it.
How we doing?
Wedge asked, as his canopy lit up briefly with the reflected light of the explosion.
We're done!
We are?
Wedge frowned, bringing his X-Wing around in a wide circle. Sure enough, the only things visible were X-Wings. Apart from expanding clouds of glowing debris, of course.
What about the dropships?
He asked.
I don't know. Gold 3, Gold 4, report.
We got 6 of them, Gold Leader.
A new voice said.
I don't know what happened to the 7th.
Wedge swore under his breath, switching comm channels as he glanced back toward the Star Destroyer. The new group of TIE fighters was coming up fast. No time for him to do anything for the Katana, except maybe warn them.
Luke, you've got company coming.
We know.
Luke's tight voice came back.
They're already here.
They came out of the dropship with lasers blazing, laying down a heavy cover fire as they moved toward the 2 sets of blast doors that led forward from the docking bay. Luke couldn't see them from where he was, any more than he could see Han's group waiting silently for them behind the edge of the port side blast doors. But he could hear the Imperial's blaster fire, and he could sense their approach. And there was something about that sense that set the back of his neck tingling. Something not quite right about them. His comlink beeped.
Luke!
Lando's voice came softly.
They're coming. You ready?
Luke closed down his lightsaber and gave his handiwork one last check. A large section of the corridor's ceiling was now hanging perilously by a few strands of metal, ready to come crashing down at the slightest provocation. Beyond it, 2 sections of the wall were similarly booby-trapped.
All set, he told Lando.
Okay, here goes.
And suddenly, the pitch of a different class of weapons joined the cacophony as the defenders opened up on the Imperials. For a few seconds, the 2 groups of weapons vied with each other. Then, with a screech of strained metal, the sounds were cut off. The 4 techs were the first around the corner to where Luke waited, their faces showing the mixture of fear and nervousness and exhilaration of men who've just survived their first firefight. Lando was next, with Han and Chewbacca bringing up the rear.
Ready?
Han asked Luke.
Yes.
Luke indicated the rigged sections of ceiling and wall.
It's not going to hold them for long, though.
Doesn't have to,
Han grunted.
As long as it takes a few of them out, it's worth it. Let's go.
Hold it,
Luke said, stretching out with the force. Those strangely disturbing minds.
They're splitting up, he told Han. About half are still at the port side blast doors. The other half are going to the starboard operations section.
Trying to flank us,
Han nodded.
Lando, how well is that area sealed off?
Not very, Lando admitted. The blast doors from the docking bay itself should hold for a while, but there's a whole maze of storage rooms and maintenance shops off of operations that they can probably get back to the main starboard corridor from. There were too many doors for us to close it all off.
From the blast doors they'd just left came the dull thud of a shaped charge.
So this group keeps us busy thinking they're all here, while the other ones try to get behind us,
Han decided.
Well, we didn't want to hold the whole corridor anyway. Chewie, you and Lando take the others and fall back toward the bridge. Take out as many of them as you can on the way. Luke and I'll go across to starboard and see if we can slow that batch down a little.
Chewbacca growled an acknowledgement and headed off, the 4 tech men already on their way.
Good luck,
Lando said, and followed. Han looked at Luke.
Still in just the 2 groups?
Yes,
Luke said, straining to locate the enemy. The strange feeling was still there.
Okay, let's go.
They set off, Han leading the way down a narrow cross corridor lined with the kind of closely spaced doors that indicated crew quarters.
Where are we going?
Luke asked as they hurried along.
Number 2 starboard weapons blister,
Han said.
Should be something nasty there we can use to flood the main corridor with. Turbo laser coolant or something.
Unless they have life support gear,
Luke pointed out.
They don't, Han said. At least they weren't wearing any when they charged us. They had standard trooper air filters. But if we fill the whole corridor with coolant,
Those won't do him much good. You never know,
he added reflectively.
The coolant might be flammable, too.
Too bad the Katana fleet wasn't made up of star galleons, Luke said, reaching out again toward the enemy. As near as he could tell, they were in the maze of rooms Lando had mentioned, working their way around toward the main starboard corridor. We really could have used those anti-intruder defenses they come equipped with.
If this was a star galleon, the Empire wouldn't be so anxious to take it away from us in one piece, Han retorted. They'd just blow it out of the sky and be done with it.
Luke grimaced. Right. They reached the main starboard corridor, and they were halfway across it when Han suddenly stopped short.
What in blazes?
Luke turned to look. 10 meters down the corridor, sitting in a patch of darkness beneath burnt-out light panels, was a large metal box resting at a tilt on a half-seen tangle of cables and struts. Twin blaster cannons protruded from beneath a narrow viewport. The corridor walls immediately around it were warped and blackened, with a half-dozen good-sized holes visible. What is it? He asked.
Looks like a scaled-down version of a scout walker, Han said. Let's go take a look.
Wonder what it's doing here, Luke said as they walked toward it. The floor beneath their feet was noticeably warped, too. Whoever had been there firing had done a thorough job of it.
Probably someone brought it out of storage during the hive virus thing that killed everyone, Han suggested. Either trying to protect the bridge or else just gone crazy themselves.
Luke nodded, shivering at the thought. It must have been a real trick to get it in here in the first place.
Well, we're sure not gonna get it out,
Han said, peering down at the tangle of debris where the walker's right leg had been. He cocked an eyebrow at Luke.
Unless...
Luke swallowed. Master Yoda had lifted his X-Wing out of a Dagobah swamp once, but Master Yoda had been far stronger in the Force than Luke was. Let's find out, he said. Taking a deep breath, clearing his mind, he raised his hand and reached out with the Force. The walker didn't even quiver. Luke tried again, and again, but it was no use. Either the machine was wedged too tightly against the walls and ceiling to move, or Luke simply didn't have the strength to lift it.
Well, never mind, Han said, glancing back down the corridor. It would have been nice to have it mobile. We could have put it in that big monitor room behind the bridge and picked off anyone who came close. But we can use it here, too. Let's see if we can get in.
Holstering his blaster, he climbed up the single remaining leg. They're getting closer, Luke warned him, looking uneasily back down the corridor. Another couple of minutes and they'll be in sight.
Better get around behind me,
Han said. He was at the walker's side door now, and with a grunt, he pulled it open.
What?
Luke asked sharply as Han's sense abruptly changed.
You don't want to know,
Han told him grimly. Visibly bracing himself, he ducked down and climbed inside.
Still has power,
he called, his voice echoing slightly.
Let's see.
Above Luke, the blaster cannon traversed a few degrees.
Still has maneuverability,
Han added with satisfaction.
Great.
Luke had made it to the top of the leg now, easing carefully past sharp edges. Whoever the walker had been fighting against had put up a good fight. The back of his mind tingled.
They're coming,
he hissed to Han, slipping off the leg and landing silently on the deck. Dropping into a crouch, he peered back through the gap between the angled leg and the main part of the walker, hoping the darkness would be adequate to conceal him. He'd gotten out of sight just in time. The Imperials were moving swiftly toward them down the corridor, spread out in a properly cautious military formation. The 2-point men paused as they caught sight of the broken walker, probably trying to decide whether to risk a straight advance or to give up the element of surprise by laying down cover fire. Whoever was in charge opted for a compromise. The point men glided forward, while the rest of the party dropped prone or hugged the corridor walls. Han let them get right up to the base of the walker. Then, swiveling the blaster cannon over their heads, he opened up on the main group. The answering fire came instantly. but it was no contest at all. Han systematically raked the walls and the floor, driving back the handful who'd been fortunate enough to have a nearby doorway to duck into, and annihilating those who hadn't. The two point men reacted instantly, one of them firing upward toward the viewport, the other scrambling up the leg toward the side door. He reached the top to find Luke waiting for him. His companion down below got three shots off, all deflected, before the lightsaber found him too. Abruptly, the blaster cannon stopped firing. Luke glanced down the corridor, reaching out with the Force. "There's still three of them left," he warned, as Han opened the walker's door and squeezed out.
"Leave them,"
Han said, climbing carefully down the back of the damaged leg and consulting his chrono.
"We need to get back to Lando and Chewie."
He threw Luke a mirthless grin.
"Besides, the actuator crystals just burned up. Let's get going before they figure that out."
The first wave of TIE fighters had been destroyed, as had all but one of the dropships. The Rebel escort frigate and its X-wings were engaged with squadrons 1 and 3, and appeared to be holding their own quite well. And Captain Brandeis was no longer smiling.
"Squadron 4 launching now,"
Starfighter Control announced.
"Squadrons 5 and 6 are awaiting your orders."
"Order them to stand by,"
Brandeis instructed. Not that he had much choice in the matter. 5 and 6 were recon and bomber squadrons, useful enough in their particular areas of expertise, but not in straight battle against Rebel X-Wings.
"Anything further on the peremptory?"
"No, sir. The last report from the Chimera before our shields went up had their ETA as approximately 15:19.
Only about 7 minutes away. But battles had been lost in less time than that. And from the look of things, this could very well become one of them. Which left Brandeis only one real option. Much as he disliked the idea of moving into range of that dreadnought's turbolasers, he was going to have to take the Judicator into combat.
"All ahead,"
he ordered the helm.
"Shields at full strength. Turbolaser batteries stand ready. And inform the leader of the boarding party that I want the dreadnought in Imperial hands, now."
"Yes, sir."
There was a dull roar from the deck as the sublight drive came up to power. And without warning, the roar was joined by the hooting of the ship's alarms.
"Bandits coming out of light speed astern,"
the sensor officer snapped.
18 craft, freighter class and smaller. They're attacking."
Brandeis swore viciously as he punched for the appropriate display. They weren't Rebel vessels, not this group. And he wondered who in the Empire they could be. But no matter.
"Come around to 271,
he ordered the helm.
"Bring F turbolasers to bear on the bandits, and launch Squadron 6.
Whoever they were, he would soon teach them not to meddle in Imperial business. As to their identity, well, intelligence would be able to ascertain that later from the wreckage.
"Watch it, Mara,"
Abe's voice warned over the comm.
"They're trying to come about, and we've got TIE fighters on the way."
"Right,"
Mara said, permitting herself a sardonic smile. For all the good that would do, the bulk of the Star Destroyer starfighters were already engaged with the New Republic forces, which meant that all cards people were likely to get would be recon ships and bombers. Nothing they couldn't handle.
"Danken, Torv, swing down to intercept."
The two pilots acknowledged, and she returned her attention to the inconspicuous spot beneath the Star Destroyer's central sublight drive nozzle, where her Z-95's lasers were currently blasting away. Beneath the shielding at that point was a critical part of the lower aft sensor package. If she could take it out, she and the others would have free run of the relatively undefended underside of the huge ship. With a sudden puff of vaporized metal and plastic, the lasers punched through.
"Got it," she told Abes. "Lower aft central sector is now blind."
"Good job,"
Abes said.
"Everyone, move in."
Mara pulled the Z-95 away, glad to be leaving the heat and radiation of the drive emissions. The Wild Card and other freighters could handle the job of tearing into the Star Destroyer's outer hull now. or small starfighter would be better utilized in keeping the TIE fighters away from them. But first, she had enough time to check in.
"Jade calling Card," she said into the comm. "You there?"
"Right here, Mara. Thank you,"
came a familiar voice, and Mara felt a little of her tension drain away. "Right here, thank you," meant everything was fine aboard the New Republic ship. Or as fine as she could expect while facing an Imperial Star Destroyer.
"What's the situation?" she asked.
"We've taken some damage, but we seem to be holding our own. There's a small tech team aboard the Katana, and they have the turbolasers operational, which may account for the Star Destroyer's reluctance to move any closer. No doubt they'll overcome their shyness eventually."
"They've overcome it now," Mara said. "The ship was under power when we arrived, and we're not going to be able to distract them for long."
"Mara, this is Leia Organa Solo,"
a new voice came on the comm.
"We've got a Star Cruiser on its way."
"The Imperials will have backup coming too," Mara said flatly. "Let's not be heroic to the point of stupidity, okay? Get your people off the Katana and get out of here."
"We can't,"
Organa Solo said.
"The Imperials have boarded. Our people are cut off from the docking bay."
Mara looked across at the dark bulk of the dreadnought, lit only by its own running lights and the flickers of reflected light from the battle raging near and around it.
"Then you'd better write them off," she said. "The Imperials aren't likely to be far away. Their backup will get here long before yours does."
And as if cued by her words, there was a flicker of pseudo-motion off to her left, and abruptly, three dreadnoughts in triangular formation appeared.
"Mara!"
Abe snapped.
"I see them,"
Mara said, as a second triad flickered in behind and above the first.
"That's it, Card. Get out of there!"
"Attention, New Republic forces,"
a new voice boomed over the channel.
"This is Senator Garm Bell Iblis aboard the warship Peregrine. May I offer our assistance?"
Leia stared at the comm speaker, a strange combination of surprise, hope, and disbelief flooding in on her. She glanced up at Card, caught his eye. He shrugged slightly, shook his head.
"I'd heard he was dead," he murmured.
Leia swallowed. So had she. But it was Bell Iblis's voice, all right. Or else an excellent copy.
"Garm, this is Leia Organa Solo," she said.
"Leia,"
Bell Iblis said.
"It's been a long time, hasn't it? I didn't expect you to be out here personally, though perhaps I should have. Was all this your idea?"
Leia frowned out the viewport.
"I don't understand what you mean by all this. What are you doing here anyway?"
"Captain Solo sent my assistant the coordinates and asked us to come along as backup,"
Bell Iblis said, a note of caution creeping into his voice.
"I assumed it was at your request."
Leia smiled tightly. She should have guessed.
"Han's memory sort of slips sometimes," she said. "Though to be honest, we haven't had much time since we got back to compare notes."
"I see,"
Bell Iblis said slowly.
"So it wasn't actually an official request from the New Republic?"
"It wasn't, but it is now," Leia assured him. "On behalf of the New Republic, I hereby ask for your assistance."
She looked over at Virgilio.
"Log that, please, Captain."
"Yes, Counselor," Virgilio acknowledged. "And speaking for myself, Senator Bell Iblis, I'm delighted to have you along."
"Thank you, Captain,"
Bell Iblis said, and in her mind's eye, Leia could see the other's famous smile.
"Let's do some damage, shall we? Peregrine out."
The six dreadnoughts had moved into encirclement formation around the Star Destroyer now, smothering it with a flood of ion cannon fire and ignoring the increasing sporadic turbo laser blasts raking them in return.
"Mara's right, though,"
Card said, stepping close to Leia.
"As soon as we can get the tech team off that ship, we'd better get them and run."
Leia shook her head.
"We can't just leave the Katana fleet to the Empire."
Card snorted. I take it you haven't had the chance to count how many dreadnoughts are left out there. Leia frowned.
No. Why?
I did a scan, Card said grimly. Earlier, when you were arguing with Phalia, out of the original 200 Katana ships, there are 15 left. Leia stared at him.
15?
She breathed. Card nodded. I'm afraid I underestimated the Grand Admiral, Counselor, he said, an edge of bitterness seeping in beneath the studied urbanity of his voice. I knew that once he had the location of the fleet, he would start moving the ships away from here. But I didn't expect him to get the location from Hoffner this quickly. Leia shivered. She'd undergone an Imperial interrogation herself once. Years later, the memory was still vivid.
I wonder if there's anything left of him.
Save your sympathy, Card advised. In retrospect, it seems unlikely the Thrawn needed to bother with anything so uncivilized as coercion. For Hoffner to have talked so freely implies the Grand Admiral simply applied a large infusion of cash. Leia gazed out at the battle, the dark feeling of failure settling over her. They'd lost. After all their efforts, they'd lost. She took a deep breath, running through the Jedi relaxation exercises. Yes, they'd lost, but it was just a battle, not the war. The Empire might have taken the Dark Force, but recruiting and training crewers to man all those dreadnoughts would take years. A lot could happen in that time.
You're right, she told Card. We do best to cut our losses. Captain Virgilio, as soon as those TIE fighters have been neutralized, I want a landing party sent to the Katana to assist our tech team there.
There was no reply.
Captain?
Virgilio was staring out the bridge viewport, his face carved from stone.
Too late, Counselor,
he said quietly. Leia turned to look. There, moving toward the besieged Imperial ship, a second Star Destroyer had suddenly emerged from hyperspace. The Imperial's backup had arrived.
Pull out!
Abe shouted, his voice starting to sound ragged.
All ships, pull out! Second Star Destroyer is in system.
The last word was half drowned out by the clang of the Z-95's proximity warning, as something got entirely too close. Mara threw the little ship into a sideways skid, just in time to get out of a TIE fighter's line of fire.
Pull out where?
She demanded, turning her skid into a barely controlled spin that had the effect of killing her forward velocity. Her attacker, perhaps made overconfident by the appearance of the backup force, roared by too fast for more than a wild shot in her direction. Coolly, Mara blew him out of the sky.
In case you've forgotten, some of us don't have enough computing power aboard to calculate a safe hyperspace jump.
I'll feed you the numbers,
Abe said.
Card. I agree.
Card's voice came from the escort frigate.
Get out of here.
Mara clenched her teeth, glancing up at the second Star Destroyer. She hated to turn tail and run, but she knew they were right. Bel Iblis had shifted three of his ships to meet the new threat, but even equipped with ion cannon, three dreadnoughts couldn't hold down a Star Destroyer for long. If they didn't disengage soon, they might not get another chance. Abruptly, her danger sense tingled. Again, she threw the Z-95 into a skid, but this time she was too late. The ship lurched hard, and from behind her came the hissing scream of superheated metal vaporizing into space.
I'm hit,
she snapped, one hand automatically slapping cutoff switches as the other grabbed for her flight suit's helmet seals and fastened them in place. Just in time. A second hiss, cut off almost before it began, announced the failure of cabin integrity.
Power lost, air lost, ejecting now!
She reached for the eject loop and paused. By chance, or perhaps last-second instinct, her crippled fighter was aimed almost directly at the first Star Destroyer's hangar entry port. If she could coax a little more power out of the auxiliary maneuvering system... It took more than a little coaxing, but when she finally gripped the eject loop again, she had the satisfaction of knowing that even in death, the Z-95 would take a minor bit of revenge on the Empire's war machine. Not much, but a little. She pulled down on the loop, and an instant later was slammed hard into her seat as explosive bolts blew the canopy clear and catapulted her out of the ship. She got a quick glimpse of the Star Destroyer's port side edge, an even quicker glimpse of a TIE fighter whipping past. And suddenly, there was an agonized squeal from the ejection seat's electronics, and the violent crackle of arcing circuits. And with a horrible jolt, Mara realized that she had made what might very well be the last mistake of her life. Intent on aiming her crippled Z-95 at the Star Destroyer's hangar bay, she had drifted too close to the giant ship and ejected directly into the path of the Dreadnought's ion beam bombardment. And in that single crackle of tortured electronics, she had lost everything. Her comm, her lights, her limited maneuvering jets, her life support regulator, her emergency beacons, everything. For a second, her thoughts flickered to Skywalker. He'd been lost in deep space too a while back, but she'd had a reason to find him. No one had a similar reason to find her. A flaming TIE fighter roared past her and exploded. A large piece of shrapnel glanced off the ceramic armor that wrapped partially around her shoulders, slamming her head hard against the side of the headrest. And as she fell into the blackness, she saw the Emperor's face before her and knew that she had again failed him. They were approaching the monitor anteroom just behind the Katana's bridge when Luke abruptly jerked.
What?
Han snapped, looking quickly around down the corridor behind them.
It's Mara, the other said, his face tight. She's in trouble.
Hit?
Han asked.
Hit and lost, Luke said, forehead straining in concentration. She must have run into one of the ion beams.
The kid was looking like he had just lost his best friend, instead of someone who wanted to kill him. Han thought about pointing that out, decided at the last second they had more immediate things to worry about. Probably just one of those crazy Jedi things that never made sense anyway.
Well, we can't help her now, he said,
starting forward again.
Come on!
Both the starboard and port main corridors fed into the monitor anteroom, from which a single set of blast doors led the rest of the way forward into the bridge proper. Lando and Chewbacca were at opposite sides of the port corridor entranceway as Han and Luke arrived, huddling back from a barrage of laser fire and occasionally risking a quick shot back.
What have you got, Lando?
Han asked as he and Luke joined them.
Nothing good, buddy, Lando grunted back. There are at least 10 of them left. Shen and Tomras were both hit. Shen'll probably die if we don't get him to a medic droid in the next hour or so. Anselm and Klein are taking care of them inside the bridge.
We did a little better, but we've still got a couple of them coming up behind us,
Han told him, doing a quick assessment of the rows of monitor consoles in the anteroom. They would provide reasonable cover, but given the layout, the defenders wouldn't be able to retreat farther without opening themselves to enemy fire.
I don't think four of us can hold this place, he decided. We better pull back to the bridge.
From which there's nowhere else to go, Lando pointed out. I trust you considered that part.
Beside him, Han felt Luke brace himself.
All right, Luke said. Into the bridge, all of you. I'll handle this.
Lando threw him a look.
You'll what?
I'll handle it, Luke repeated.
With a sharp snap hiss, he ignited his lightsaber.
Get going. I know what I'm doing.
Come on,
Han seconded. He didn't know what Luke had in mind, but something about the kid's face suggested it wouldn't be a good idea to argue.
We can backstop him from inside.
A minute later, they were set. Han and Lando just inside the bridge blast doors. Chewbacca a few meters farther in undercover of an engineering console. Luke standing alone in the archway with lightsaber humming. It took another minute for the Imperials to realize that they had the corridors to themselves. But once they did, they moved swiftly. Cover fire began ricocheting around the monitor consoles, and as it did so, the Imperials began diving one by one through the two corridor archways into the anteroom, taking cover behind the long consoles and adding their contribution to the laser fire storm. Trying not to wince back from the attack, Han kept up his own fire, knowing full well that he wasn't doing much more than making noise. Luke's lightsaber flashed like something alive and hungry, deflecting the bolts that came too close. So far, the kid didn't seem to have been hit, but Han knew that it couldn't last. As soon as the Imperial stopped laying down random cover fire and started concentrating on their aim, there would be too many shots for even a Jedi to stay clear of. Gritting his teeth, wishing he knew what Luke had in mind, he kept shooting. "Ready?" Luke shouted over the screaming of the bolts. And even as Han wondered what he was supposed to be ready for, the kid took a step back and threw his lightsaber to the side. It spiraled across the anteroom, spun into the wall, and with a crack like thunder, sliced the anteroom open to space. Luke leaped backwards, barely making it into the bridge, before the blast door slammed shut against the explosive decompression. Alarms whistled for a moment until Chewbacca shut them off. And for another minute, Han could hear the thudding of laser fire as the doomed Imperials fired uselessly at the blast doors. And then, the firing trailed off into silence. And it was all over. Luke was already at the main viewport, gazing out at the battle taking place outside.
"Take it easy, Luke,"
Han advised, holstering his blaster and coming up behind him.
"We're out of the fight."
"We can't be,"
Luke insisted, his artificial right hand opening and closing relentlessly. Maybe remembering Merkur and that long trek with Mara across the forest.
"We've got to do something to help. The Imperials will kill everyone if we don't."
"We can't fire and we can't maneuver,"
Han growled, fighting back his own feeling of helplessness. Leia was on that escort frigate out there.
"What's left?"
Luke waved a hand helplessly.
"I don't know," he conceded. "You're supposed to be the clever one. You think of something."
"Yeah,"
Han muttered, looking around the bridge.
"Sure, I'm supposed to just wave my hands and..."
He stopped short and felt a slow, lopsided smile spread across his face.
"Chewie, Lando, get over there to those sensor displays,"
he ordered, looking down at the console in front of him. Not the right one.
"Luke, help me find... never mind. Here it is."
"Yeah, what is?"
Lando asked, stepping in front of the display Han had indicated.
"Think about it a minute,"
Han said, glancing over the controls. Good. Everything still seemed to be engaged. He just hoped it all still worked.
"Where are we anyway?"
he added, stepping over to the helm console and activating it.
"We're in the middle of nowhere,"
Lando said with strained patience.
"And fiddling with that helm isn't gonna get us anywhere."
"You're right,"
Han agreed, smiling tightly.
"It's not gonna get us anywhere."
Lando stared at him, and slowly, a smile of his own appeared.
"Right," he said slyly. "Right. This is the Katana fleet, and we're aboard the Katana."
"You got it,"
Han told him. Taking a deep breath, mentally crossing his fingers, he eased power to the drive. The Katana didn't move, of course, but the whole reason the entire Katana fleet had disappeared together in the first place.
"Got one,"
Lando called out, hunching over his sensor display.
"Bearing 43 Mark 20.
"Just one?"
Han asked.
"Just one," Lando confirmed. "Count your blessings. After this much time, we're lucky to have even one ship whose engines still work."
"Let's hope they stay working,"
Han grunted.
"Give me an intercept course for that second Star Destroyer."
Lando frowned. "Come around 15 degrees port side and down a hair."
"Right."
Carefully, Han made the necessary course change. It was a strange feeling to be flying another ship by slave rig remote control.
"How's that?"
he asked Lando.
"Looks good," Lando confirmed. "Give it a little more power."
"The fire control monitors aren't working," Luke warned, stepping to Han's side. "I don't know if you're going to be able to fire accurately without them."
"I'm not even going to try,"
Han told him grimly.
"Lando?"
"Shift a little more to port side,"
Lando directed.
"A little more. That's it."
He looked up at Han. "You lined up perfectly."
"Here goes,"
Han said, and threw the throttle control wide open. There was no way the Star Destroyer could have missed seeing the dreadnought bearing down on it, of course, but with its electronic and control system still being scrambled by Bell Iblis's ion attack, there was also no way for it to move out of the way in time. Even from the Katana's distance, the impact and explosion were pretty spectacular. Han watched the expanding fireball fade slowly, and then turned to Luke.
Okay, he said. Now we're out of the fight.
Through the Judicator's side viewport, Captain Brandi watched in stunned disbelief as the peremptory died its fiery death. No, it couldn't be. It simply couldn't. Not an Imperial Star Destroyer. Not the mightiest ship in the Empire's fleet. The crack of a shot against the bridge deflector screen snapped him out of it.
Report,
he snapped. One of the enemy dreadnoughts seems to have been damaged in the peremptory's explosion, the sensor officer reported. The other two are on their way back here. To reinforce the three still blasting away with their ion cannon, Brandi gave the tactical display a quick check, but it was a meaningless exercise. He knew full well what their only course was.
Recall all remaining fighters, he ordered. We'll make the jump to light speed as soon as they're aboard.
Yes, sir.
And as the bridge crew moved to comply, Brandi permitted himself a tight smile. Yes, they'd lost this one. But it was just a battle, not the war. They'd be back soon enough. And when they did, it would be with the Dark Force and Grand Admiral Thrawn to command it. So he would leave the rebels to enjoy their victory here. It might well be their last.